Eat Drink Indiana Radio is powered by EatDrinkIndy.com. Eat local, drink local, eat drink Indy. Welcome to Eat Drink Indiana Radio on WFYI HD to the Point. I'm your host, Jolene Ketzenberger. This week on Eat Drink Indiana Radio, we take the show on the road. We head to Franklin, Indiana, the Johnson County seat. It's home to about 25,000 people and also home to a thriving downtown and a growing number of locally owned restaurants and shops that are busy despite a massive $20 million construction project that is upgrading the city's streets and sidewalks. I spent some time in Franklin recently to explore the downtown food and drink scene, everything from an old-school tavern open since 1947 to a gluten-free bakery to a popular local candy shop where kids can still buy candy for a nickel. Downtown Franklin also has a local brewery and will be getting a winery tasting room when New Albany's River City Winery opens this fall. And of course, there's the historic Art Craft Theater, a 1920s-era movie house that is at the heart of the city's historic restoration efforts. So stay with us for more here on Eat Drink Indiana Radio as we enjoy a taste of Franklin, Indiana on WFYI and WFYI.org. Here at Eat Drink Indiana Radio, we are always interested in how the food and dining scene is developing throughout central Indiana. So with that in mind, I decided to head to Johnson County to explore Franklin, Indiana. I was encouraged by Franklin resident and local restaurant biz veteran Brian Alvey, who will be opening a tasting room for River City Winery this fall in Franklin. So Brian served as a tour guide to show off his city, and we spent a day there recently tasting our way through the town, from morning coffee at the busy Benjamin's Coffee House to Court Street Cafe and Susie's Tea House and Bakery, all right across from the Johnson County Courthouse. We stopped in for a cheeseburger at the Grill Bar, checked out Greg's Pizzeria and Tap House, and stopped in for a locally brewed Shale Creek beer at Triple Play Barbecue. We bought some candy at the Hoosier Cupboard, candy and snacks, and ended our day with pizza and a glass of wine at Richard's Brick Oven Pizza. And along the way, we talked to Franklin residents and business owners who are excited about their local food and dining scene. We also stopped in at the iconic Art Craft Theater, where Franklin Heritage Executive Director Rob Schultz showed us around the gorgeous 1920s-era theater, whose renovation has spurred even more local efforts at historic restoration in Franklin. From longtime local favorite The Willard to the classic Grill Bar Tavern to gourmet pizza and a gluten-free bakery, Franklin's food scene seems to be thriving in the midst of a $20 million street and sidewalk reconstruction project. Franklin resident and my tasting tour guide, Brian Alvey, gives us his take on what's happening in the Johnson County seat.
It's becoming what everybody had hoped, said, and thought it might be. It didn't happen as fast as everybody wanted, but I think that was a blessing in disguise because they were able to control the growth, slow as smooth, smooth as fast, and we had a controlled growth to where we've got good diversification in businesses. It's not just a bunch of bars and things like that. People are like, oh, it's just a bar town. It's really not. All the bars, restaurants, taverns, pubs, everything are different. They have their own identity. They compete with, not against one another, which is a big factor in the current successes that are happening down here. They have an intertwined day life as well with all these establishments, with the coffee shop, the tea room, there's four dress shops down here, boutique dress shops down here that are operating successfully, and a gluten-free option bakery / tea house, which if that doesn't say things are happening down here, that those places are thriving, I don't know what does.
Franklin, as the county seat, it has its daytime government business, and that's, what perhaps a lot of county seats have relied on over the years. But the regular shopping business and the dining business and the nightlife, that seems to be coming back.
We've had our little spots that have always been destination locations for a long time, but now you have people coming to this location because they know they'll find something. For years, being well acquainted with the Indianapolis food and beverage market, I could tell you that people didn't say they were going somewhere specific in Broad Ripple. They just said, we're going to Broad Ripple this weekend, or we're going to Mass Ave this weekend, or we're going to downtown, which they meant the wholesale district this weekend, or now Fountain Square. And then they figure out where they want to go when they get there. More times than not, they go where the livelihood is that evening. People are now no longer just saying, I'm going to the Grill Bar this weekend, I'm going to the Willard this weekend, I'm going to Greek's Pizzeria and Tap Room this weekend, I'm going to Richard's Kitchen. They're just saying, we're going to Franklin, and then they figure out, oh, by the way, we'll probably go here. So it's become a destination area instead of just simple destination location.
And it's not like, the kind of small town where, like you've said, the sidewalks roll up at 6 o'clock in the evening.
That's exactly right. The sidewalks don't roll up. They literally are illuminating them. They are turning the old, quote-unquote, alleys in between all these establishments into walkways, sidewalks, and they're illuminating for safe passage throughout the city. It almost seems as if there's a permanent nonstop, quote-unquote, pub crawl in the evening here and then shopping crawl during the day. The foot traffic in this town from as early as 7 a.m. to 2 a.m. is unbelievable. You would think you were in some borough of Indianapolis, but you're not. You're 15 minutes, that's it, 15 minutes straight shot south of Indianapolis into a community that has 100% its own identity and its own tied-in community with a bunch of cool mom-and-pop places that you're not going to find somewhere else. You might find something similar to it, but they are their own. They have their own identity, and that's what makes it cool.
Now, you do have a big construction project, a $20 million road construction project in and around downtown. That's going to completely change the look of things.
Well, I definitely envision improvement. It's going to look great. I mean, this is stuff that had to be done, but the city as a whole, we have what I believe to be great administrators of our city right now within the mayor's office, the planning and zoning, the city council, everybody in our city hall, and they all seem to be working well with one another. Absolutely, there's not been a bunch of political infighting. It's at the end of the day, they've been at what's the right answer for Franklin. So they've got an amazing plan put together. They're executing it. We've already seen the successes of what they did on Main Street. They're getting ready to do Jefferson Street, which is what people would consider the main drag through Franklin. And what they're projecting to do is amazing. You want to talk about open communication. They've literally put out the dates. This is when we're doing this part. This is when we're doing it. They produced it and put it out to public consumption. And everybody knows, all the business owners know, all the consumers know, hey, you're going to have a hard time going here, but, park here, walk there. It's too easy. Franklin's downtown area is the easiest place to find parking, the easiest place to navigate. There's plenty of parking if you're willing to walk a block. If you're not willing to walk a block, you got a problem.
So the downtown reconstruction, the streets, the sidewalks, the facades, that sort of thing, one phase of it would be done, I think, by the end of this year, another by next spring, the whole project by 2019. So within a few years, this is going to be a very spiffy place.
What they've done is they put together grants and stuff for facades and stuff. They improved infrastructure. This whole plan that they have in place now is all infrastructure. It's streets, sidewalks, lighting, stuff like that, things that need to be improved upon, things that need to be done. Their plan is amazing. It's detailed into, I believe, 7 published phases, so they're not just closing everything down on everyone all at once that would hamper business. It's well thought out. It's well planned, and it's been communicated to the public wonderfully. You're not going to have a problem navigating downtown Franklin why they do this. I don't think they could have put together much better of a plan.
You can't talk about food in downtown Franklin, Indiana, without talking cheeseburgers at the Grill Bar. The bar opened in 1947 and has been a staple ever since. And not much has changed inside since the 1940s. Certainly not the bar itself, which features names and initials carved in by patrons over the years. And no one's sure how long the actual grill has been there, but that grill seems to be the secret to the tavern's popular cheeseburgers. Manila Hughes, who owns the grill bar with her husband Larry, tells us about Franklin's iconic tavern, its bar, and those famous cheeseburgers.
We've had it 17 years now.
What was it like then?
The same. We don't change anything. You know, the customers do not like change around here.
So that's kind of a good thing and kind of fun, I think.
True. Well, we try to keep the old nostalgic and the old pictures and try to keep it original.
And we're talking about original. We're looking at the bar here and all the carvings on there. Tell me about that.
Well, we just tell them we don't see it when they're doing it. We look the other way. So
these are all people's names and yes. dates and things all carved into the bar, all up and down the bar.
Yes, absolutely. And so that's something we don't ever want to change. You know, people's asked us, why don't you put in a new bar? And it's like, this is the history, the same as our round table back there. I don't know how old the round table is, but it's very old. So we just, you know, try to look the other way when somebody's carving.
Well, yeah, some of these must have taken some people a long time to carve. I mean,
gosh, absolutely. Yeah, they've spent many of hours sitting here in the same place.
but it seems like that it's a real local treasure sort of place.
It is. It's definitely the local hangout spot. Everybody knows everybody here. You know, when a new face comes in, it's like, oh, we don't know who that is. So, and we've been seeing way more of that now, especially with, I credit Erin for that because she does all the social media for us and, you know, knows how to do all that, whereas I don't. So she is very good about getting that, the word out for us. And I think that has tremendously helped business.
Now, it seems like that there is a lot happening in downtown Franklin. Are you seeing that?
Absolutely. And then with all the stuff that they're doing downtown, remodeling the old buildings, getting the roads done, is definitely, you know, the housing market, it's crazy. People love it here.
Now, a tavern like the Grill Bar, I mean, how does it coexist with all the new things, though, right? It seems like it's you know, it's here and thriving just like some of the new places are.
Oh, absolutely. And thank goodness for that. I think the people definitely like the old buildings, the old nostalgic, and that we keep everything original. We don't want to change. We don't want to, you know, make it too modern looking. We like to keep it old looking, and we're just kind of old fashioned.
Well, now, you have to tell me a little bit about the hamburgers, because that seems like one of the things that everyone has told me is you have to have a burger at the Grill Bar.
Absolutely. And while we make the hamburger up fresh, I hand patty all of them every week. It's the old grill that is what makes them so good. Is there's nothing special we do. They're half pound pre-cooked.
Oh my gosh, that's a hefty burger.
Oh, absolutely. So, and we sell a ton of them, but we always credit that grill is what makes us the money, is that 100-year-old grill.
Oh my goodness. Now is the grill a part of the original bar?
We're not sure about that. We don't really know what year that grill got put in.
But was it here when you got here?
Absolutely. And it's been here since the 80s that we know of, and probably long before that.
Now, how would you describe the bar and the food and what people like about the Grill Bar? Is it nostalgia? Is it, you know, the fact that you know everybody? You know, is it all of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of local that everybody knows this is the best place in town to get a cheeseburger. And so people, when they see that on the internet, they love to come in here. They'll see that we have the best burgers, so they'll stop in and try them. And we take a lot of pride in having the best burgers around.
I'm Jolene Ketzenberger, and we are back here on Eat Drink Indiana Radio, taking the show on the road to Franklin, Indiana, and exploring the downtown food and dining scene in the Johnson County seat. In addition to longtime Franklin favorites like the Willard or the Grill Bar with its popular cheeseburger, new food businesses have been opening as well. About a year and a half ago, Karen Buckler opened Susie's Tea House and Bakery right across from the courthouse. The Franklin native tells us why she wanted a tea house and how the gluten-free bakery has become a destination for fans of her pies, cookies, breads, cakes, and even biscuits and gravy.
I have always been into teas since the early 70s when my 5-year-old, 4-year-old son introduced me to tea leaves and a tea ball. And I have just done a lot of information on teas and always seek them out. And so I got to the point where I wanted to do something because I'm at an age that I have to or I won't. And so it's like I want to do a tea house. I didn't want to do the tea room where it was the foo-foo with the doilies. And I wanted it where everybody felt comfortable to come in and that all the demographics were comfortable. And then I combined the tea with the gluten-free. I was going to do a little gluten-free with the tea so that people could have desserts with the tea. And then it just kind of blossomed from there, and the gluten-free aspect of it grew a lot.
So now, what was your background? Did you have a background in food or business, that sort of thing?
I've done a lot. I'm old. I've done a lot. My major career was in the medical field, and so I kept getting away from the medical field to the point where I was actually running a university's medical program, but I still had to deal with internships and doctors, and I thought, I don't want to do this anymore. I moved back to Franklin, and I worked with some not-for-profits for a little while, some real estate, and then it was like, I have to do what I want to do. And
oh, that's cool. That's so inspiring. Once you made the decision, you know, how'd it go?
Very quickly. I had started a business plan and was planning this, and another space became available, and I thought, well, I'm going to look at that. And it was like, well, it's too small to do what I wanted to do. This space was getting renovated, and I started looking around town, and there wasn't really any other space. That was the size that I could afford and everything. And so I talked to the owners, and it was one of those things that if I didn't take it, I wouldn't. There were no other spaces. So it was like.
So you had to jump.
I had to jump. And so I sped up the business plan and went a lot faster than I had really anticipated.
You know, and so then all, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you're a tea house owner, right?
Yeah, I am. And it took several months to get, because when I walked in, I could see the drywall of the bicycle shop. So there was nothing. So I got to completely design it, pick out everything. And I built tables and did the woodwork and things like that. And so all of that took some time.
So now when did you open? How long has it been going?
I opened March 23rd, 2015, so it's been about a year and a half.
What was the reaction, you know, and what's your reaction to Franklin? Because, you know, here you are right on the Courthouse Square.
Being on the Courthouse Square is very nice when you have the festivals and you're downtown and you're in the middle of everything. 85% of my customer base is from outside of Franklin.
Now, that's interesting, I think.
Yes. So I'm a destination place. And again, it's because of the gluten-free. People are finding out, oh, I have tea. I don't have to go to Greenwood to Tibana. So they're finding that out. But it's the gluten-free that really bring people into the store.
Now, that's interesting. How has that part of the business gone? Pretty well, I imagine.
It has a lot of special orders. I just, you know, sent out 7 loaves of bread yesterday, and I've had people that I'm shipping to. I just had another family or another lady that was just in, and we were telling her that we could ship. I had somebody call me yesterday that wants 100 of my little pie bites to be shipped to North Carolina for a wedding.
Oh, my goodness.
People are learning that they like what I'm serving. Not only is it gluten-free, but it's very, very good.
Now, are all the baked goods here gluten-free?
Everything in the store is gluten-free. So I am 100% gluten-free, including the jams or anything that I'm selling in the store. People can be guaranteed that they don't have to worry about it. And that's why I have a truck driver that stops every Friday for breakfast, because he doesn't have to worry about what he has to eat. And when he's in town, he'll come in on Saturdays for the biscuits and gravy, because people that are celiac or gluten intolerant, they don't get biscuits and gravy.
Now, that's such a nice thing, you know, that you have product that they don't have to worry about, or it's not like just this side of the menu or something like that.
Right. And that's where a lot of the kids, I may have told a story about the kids that have come in and their parents, you know, say, you know, the kid will say, well, what can I have? And they can have anything. And the adults are like that, because, and we will just look at each other and giggle or smile, because we'll say we're 100% gluten-free. And then it'll be like, well, are the brownies gluten-free? Yes. Or are these gluten-free? Everything is gluten-free. And they can't put their mind around that everything is gluten-free. And during a festival out here last fall, I had a lady, I mean, she was in tears when she found out that we were gluten-free. Had no clue that we were. And so it's, for us, it's getting the word out more to people that here we are.
And that must be gratifying to fill a niche that people have needed.
It is. It's very heartwarming, and it makes it worthwhile when we come in early and we, you know, we're baking, especially in this little teeny tiny kitchen, and running all over each other, and then you get the comments from people about it being gluten-free, and it is. It's very heartwarming.
Now, what do you feel, how do you feel about the food community, the downtown sort of food scene in Franklin? It seems like I'm seeing a lot of momentum, a lot of interest. How does that feel on your side of things?
I think that it is. People have more choices when they come downtown. Right here in line with the Benjamins and the cafe and myself, you've got Ann's across the street. The pizza place doesn't open typically until evening, so they're not a lunch type place. And so it just gives people more choices.
We are exploring Franklin, Indiana today here on Eat Drink Indiana Radio. And to get a sense of how the city's food and dining scene is growing, you need to consider how things used to be and the changes the city has seen. Shopping malls and big box discount stores took their toll on Franklin and on small towns everywhere, but Franklin has managed to forge a new identity for its downtown, with new shopping and dining options. Now, the city is also home to Franklin College, a small liberal arts school situated close to downtown, which helps as well. And, says Franklin native and former mayor Fred Paris, the town has seen a real focus on historic renovation, thanks to the efforts of Rob Schultz with Franklin Heritage and that group's purchase of the Art Craft Theater. Now a partner at the Pavilion and Triple Play Barbecue, Paris tells us about the changes he has seen in Franklin over the years.
Well, when I was a kid, and I started working for my dad when I was in junior high at his service station just down the street, and I'd walk downtown every day, and you'd go to either Betty's or West Side Cafe or all these little restaurants and all these little gift shops, and it was just a bustling downtown. There was all these mom-and-pop businesses, and everybody was friendly, and it was just a great little community to grow up in.
Then what happened?
I think probably the advent of the big box stores on, you know, the Bradley Chevrolet moves out of town and the Woods Buick moves out of town, and then you get the Greenwood Park Mall, and it just continued to eat away at it until all those little stores started disappearing.
So what was the town like, say, in the 80s or 90s? You know, was it... Was there much going on?
Well, in the 80s and 90s, it was mainly banking. So there was a bank on almost every corner and still some service stations and a few little, but mostly government and banking, really.
Because, of course, it's a county seat.
So the county seat has always been the value to Franklin, is being the county seat at least keeps it vibrant, even if it was mostly just county buildings and banks.
So when did it start to change? Can you pinpoint?
It's a lot of people tried things over the, you know, when they're starting in the 90s, people would open a shop and they might make it a year or two and then it would close and something else would come in. But a lot of people started trying to bring small businesses back over the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. And then just in the last 5 years or so, it's really just started going boom. People came back downtown, and the city started putting money into the downtown and reset up the tax increment finance districts to bring money to make these things happen.
Do you think that helped the push from the county?
Oh, definitely. The city and the county working together to rehab around the courthouse and redo the streets there. And then, of course, the Art Craft was probably the first real catalyst. The Art Craft, when it rehabbed and started rehabbing, and the vision came from there. And then that kind of just started, when the Art Craft started doing better, everybody else started saying, well, you know, what can we do to build around that? You know, it kind of had a little bit of a setback when the old Don and Donna's closed. That left a big hole there for downtown dining. And then over the last few years, then other people came in to take their place. So now you have, four or five little restaurants. The Elks is the rehabbing of the buildings is going to be the real catalyst to make everybody want to come here, I think, and then the businesses that go in them.
Now, you told me that you you like the old buildings, you know, and the rehabbing of the buildings. Tell me a little bit about that.
I just have always loved old buildings. I saved a lot of houses over the years. I'd move them and fix them up, and the college was going to tear down a bunch of houses, and I moved all those and built a new subdivision out of them. And for some reason, I've just always loved old houses. I've always lived in old houses.
So you remember what a lot of these places used to be in Franklin, right?
Absolutely. I can remember most of them from the late 60s all the way up through current. I can pretty well remember who was in and out of them, but some of them had people going out so quick that you forgot they were there.
Now, as you see things developing right now, what are some of the big challenges? I mean, you have a big construction project right outside your door.
I do, but I know that the good that's going to come in 4 months is worth the pain for the 4 months. So I think as the street gets redone, that there won't be an empty building downtown. The values are going up. Rents are going up. And just that many more people. I've always said I want to be the Broad Ripple of Johnson County.
Now, why is that? Tell me that.
Well, I think a thriving downtown and a thriving place where people meet and you make friends is what it's all about. It's all about a sense of community, and that I always felt that they used to have a sense of community up there. I've not been there for years, but Franklin had lost its sense of community since for a lot of years we just lost that sense of community.
Now, how does the food businesses play into that? I mean, you now have you have the pavilion, you know, a beautiful facility with this very cool retractable roof. So how did these kind of businesses play into it?
Well, you know, they started out by doing the downtown festivals and just getting people to come downtown for a day. And then they'd come and just enjoy a festival. But then when you have places to come down to eat weekly, or sometimes we see some people more often than that, but then they bring other friends and more friends come and people decide to move to the community and they decide to open a shop and it just feeds on itself.
Now, what's been the response to, you know, places like the Pavilion where you have the Shale Creek Brewing, you have the Triple Play Barbecue?
Well, I think, you know, we only opened in January, so we were, you know, then you go through the summer months when it's supposedly slower, and then we're getting ready to get busier, then they start a road project, but we're holding our own. We hope to break even the next 4 months, and then we're seeing a lot of booking of birthday parties, a lot of bookings of wedding receptions, wedding rehearsal dinners, and just get-togethers. So today's been a very good day, for an example.
So what do you see that sort of momentum continuing in Franklin? You have quite a few, I would think, you know, for this size of town, quite a few independent businesses and restaurants and that sort of thing. Do you see the momentum carrying on?
Yeah, I actually was, there was supposed to be another restaurant and brewery going in the old post office, and I was in favor of that happening. So I think we still need two or three more great dining destinations to really tie everything together. So I'm not one of those people who says everybody stay away because I'm here. I want more.
You know, the rising tide lifts all boats,
exactly.
Sort of thing.
Just like CVS and Walgreens building across from each other, you build next to the people that are in the same kind of businesses.
Is there any downsides to sort of the revitalization or the becoming kind of a destination?
Well, I think you always have to continue. Marketing is just a huge challenge because you got to continue to market your differences. And because, you know, it's awfully easy to just stop along the highway and eat at any fast food place. So to get people to come downtown for a unique dining experience and change their thinking, it is just constant marketing.
Now, what about fine dining? You know, like Richard's Kitchen open, but then that, you know, that switches over to focus on pizza. Do you see an opening for, you know, maybe expanded fine dining?
But there's definitely room downtown still for another morning restaurant. There's probably room for a definitely fine dining, a 50 to 75 seat place, and that just that regular, you know, beans and cornbread place.
I like that. Beans and cornbread kind of place. That's very fun. So are you optimistic about Franklin and the local food and the local businesses?
Yeah, I'm extremely optimistic.
I'm Jolene Katzenberger, and we are back with an On the Road episode of Eat Drink Indiana Radio, focusing on Franklin, Indiana. The city's food, dining, and shopping options have expanded in recent years, and one shop you'll notice as you come into town is the Hoosier Cupboard Candy and Snacks, located in the former train depot building. Owner Kim Smith, who also operates the Ashley Drake Historic Inn Bed and Breakfast, tells us how she has seen Franklin develop.
We've been here for 22 years. We were able to purchase the house next to ours to run a bed and breakfast. After 2 years of restoration, we were able to open it. And it's been 12 years now that we've been open as the bed and breakfast. A few years later, as in a year and a half, we were able to purchase the local candy store.
Now, that was quick.
Yes. And that was in February, and then in August of that same year, 2015, we were able to purchase the local railroad station.
Oh my goodness, the old depot right there as you're coming into town.
Yep, that's correct. And after 8 months of renovation on that, we were able to move in to it with the candy store.
So now, what year did the Bed and Breakfast open?
Bed and Breakfast opened in 2004, okay. August 2004.
And so then how did you get from the bed and breakfast to the candy store?
It was an accident. I was working at the previous candy store just as real part-time and kind of overheard that they were kind of wanting to sell and said, me? And my children are 19 and 20 and thought it'd be a perfect opportunity for them.
Oh, absolutely. So you've seen a lot of development in Franklin over the years. Tell me a little bit about maybe how it's changed.
Franklin, we actually had a Fourth Friday concert, and one of the musicians that was here doing a concert had stayed with us, and he was from Franklin, Tennessee. He had mentioned to some friends that he was going to be playing in Franklin, Indiana, and they about flipped. Franklin, Indiana, it's the antique capital of the Midwest. This had to have been in the 80s because at that time we only had maybe two antique stores.
Oh my goodness.
Franklin had died a little bit, but it has blossomed again and it is amazing.
You know, that's kind of what I remember. You know, back in the 80s, there really wasn't a lot going on.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. But it has really, it's grown now.
So what do you attribute it to? There seems to be so much momentum. I keep hearing the word momentum. It seems to be like one thing kind of leads to another. Yeah, exactly. You know, like you have a bed and breakfast, mm-hmm. and then you have a candy shop, yeah. you know? So yeah. maybe that's part of it.
And it could be. It could be. It just took the store next to us. Thanks for the time. She's been there, oh my goodness, probably 15 years. And then another store popped in next to her, and then it just kind of flowed down the street. And then it started blossoming back into downtown. So
what's it like having a bed and breakfast? I mean, you're right across the street pretty much from the entrance to the college, Franklin College, and you're very close to downtown. You know, how is it?
It's exciting. I mean, I was mentioning to you earlier about how this year we had guests from Norway and El Salvador. Last year we had Venezuela, Colombia, Spain, and Canada all on one weekend. And so we've met a lot of people. And it's mainly family visits or weddings, which is fine. Franklin College is mainly people are 2 hours away, so they just go home.
So not a lot of visits from people here for the like college family weekends and things like
right.
that.
Yep. Now we are booked on homecoming.
Of course.
But just lots of neat people. Not a lot from Indianapolis. For some reason, if there's something going on in downtown Indy, they want to be right there. They want to be within walking distance, even though it's so easy to get on the interstate, so easy to fly up there in 20 minutes and you're there.
Now, tell me a little bit about the candy shop and how that has developed and what it was like when you bought it.
When we bought it, they focused on their truffles and assorteds. They had a few kids things. Then we
like purchased... fine chocolates, you mean?
Yes, yeah. Truffles, assorted chocolates, as in jellies and creams and stuff, and pretzels. And when we got it, I kept seeing the kids come in with nothing, you know, weren't able to get anything. So we added nickel candies.
And... the little bitty, the old-fashioned candies, right?
Yep. Tootsie Rolls were a nickel. Mary Jane's are a nickel. And just, yeah, a bit of Honey's. Yep, Smarties. And so they're able to come in with a couple cents and get themselves something. And, you know, it doesn't have to be big. You know, to them, that is big. And so we've just grown it from February to May. We just did chocolate and candy. In May we 15, we added the ice cream. Started with just an 8-tub ice cream. When we moved into the Railroad Depot, we add another 8-tub. And we're actually would like to add maybe 4 more. So, but we, you know, we've bumped up the taffy. We've bumped up the gummy supplies.
So now tell me about the depot building, because okay. Now that's a very cool building as yep. You're coming into Franklin.
We like the Victorian era.
Hey, well, it kind of goes nicely with the B&B, right? Yep.
The B&B is 1897. The Railroad Depot is 1909. The depot was originally 3 blocks away from where it is now and serviced the Big Four Railroad. And my son will get mad at me, and any other railroad guys out there will get mad at me too, but that was the Big Four was Chicago, Cleveland, Cincinnati, and St. Louis. And it went east and west in Franklin. And then the existing railroad that's here now is from Indianapolis to Louisville. And that was originally the Pennsylvania, New York Central. So Franklin was very big with the railroad. They had an east and west and a north and south. I mean, how amazing. That doesn't happen very often. And so...
So the depot was an important structure, yeah, right?
Yep, it was. And but it was moved in 1979 to its current location. And the group that moved it was a nonprofit education group, and they moved it to save it and then put offices in there. So the Chamber of Commerce was in there for over 30 years.
What do you think about the future of Franklin?
There are still a few little houses on Jefferson Street that are in our little village area that could easily be turned into shops or restaurants. And Franklin really needs another 4-star restaurant. We had a wonderful one, and... had some deaths in their family that we lost it. So, 5-star restaurant and a mama pop would be great.
Exactly. I know. I've had people tell me, you know, we could use a beans and cornbread restaurant, yes. And we could use a fine dining
exactly.
restaurant.
Yep. Both would be wonderful.
We've been talking about the downtown food and dining scene in Franklin, Indiana today here on Eat Drink Indiana Radio, but we turn our attention now to craft beer with Jason Tapp, owner of Greek's Pizzeria and Tap Room, which recently marked its 1-year anniversary in business right in downtown Franklin. Jason tells us about the momentum he sees in the city and how craft beer fits in.
I just think it's the downtown area. I think it's more commercially now. I think more of a presence commercially. I think the residential part is also growing. But as more of a community-based kind of a town kind of develops, there's got to be a draw for them to stay in town rather than go and look for entertainment elsewhere. So I think that's what downtown Franklin is kind of starting to become.
So that's what we've been talking about, you know, that there's something to keep people here. There's a nightlife.
I agree. I think more than just a nightlife, a broad range, you know, from antiques, antiquing, and from, you know, neighbors like a Marshmallow Monkey, where there's, I think, just a lot of retail and a lot of maybe like Benjamin's as a coffee shop. So I think there's a real big variety of things that would draw, you know, not only residents, but now I think people that are from Greenwood and Whiteland and Columbus that would be drawn to see what's the hype all about here in Franklin.
Now, tell me about your business, you know, for the long time restaurant was here. Yep. Tell me a little bit about that progression.
as far as Don & Donna's was concerned, just a really well-established with loyal customers, but obviously more of a breakfast, lunch, eatery, but definitely a following there. And so the location was key, being right on the square, and I thought that was first and foremost, the location's got to be right. And then as far as kind of how this came about, Grease Pizzeria being a franchise, started in 1969 in Muncie, the pizza and everything food based on the menus just already established, and then as far as just the bar and everything that kind of complements the pizza, craft beer and what it's become and kind of transitioned into is taking on its own kind of life. And I just kind of wanted to bring that to Franklin, not so much to be my own brewery, but just to display as much as I can local craft beer, and just kind of be that watering hole that could support local craft beers, which is popping up so just vast in the state of Indiana.
So now, how has been the reaction to that? You know, because this is not your old school bar. This is, you know, you have a wide variety of, like you said, like of craft beer. How's the reaction been?
It was, I think, a positive reaction. Slow at first, I think, just because of so many beers on tap, and then not so much that, but a lot of obscure beers.
So how obscure?
I think to me, and maybe the younger crowd, that maybe craft beer is not such a new thing, it's not so obscure. But this town, along with a lot of other towns that I'm very familiar with, Miller Lite, Coors Light, Bud Light, it ruled. So you have to educate on the product and pair them to what they like. And what they like is probably domestics and the staple beers that everybody knows. And then you kind of go off that and pair them with a craft beer, which then I think like it opens their mind of and their taste buds to something that is very different. And I think it expands just people's maybe appreciation for what craft beer is.
What do you see coming down the road for Franklin? Do you feel like this momentum is going to keep going? Are you optimistic?
I'm very optimistic. I think things that we personally as a restaurant, we still have a lot of things in our a lot of arrows in our quiver that we've not pulled out yet. I'm going to release a few different things here in the short term. We definitely see us growing, and I think just by us growing shows that there is definitely a market out there in support. And from what I hear, I believe there's other restaurants and other things that are coming, and I think it's a big also I have to say, the city offers these great grants and funding to maybe help offset some of these costs, whether it be for signage or for the facade. So the city is also playing a big part in allowing startup owners to take advantage of some of these vehicles that a lot of other small towns maybe don't offer or put out there.
Have spent our time here today on Eat Drink Indiana Radio exploring how the food and dining scene has grown recently in Franklin, Indiana. But the number of food artisans there has increased as well. Bethany Grove, for example, launched Companion Ice Cream earlier this summer with her husband Josh and began selling her ice creams at the local farmers market. Bethany, who attended culinary school, has developed a creative line of flavors with such names as Salty Malty Peanut Butter, Balsamic Roasted Strawberry, and Brown Sugar Sweet Potato with Toasted Marshmallow. The farmer's market season is over for this year, but Bethany tells us how Companion Ice Cream developed and what she has planned for the future.
We just started up in July, and it's just our small little cart that we take to the Franklin Farmer's Market, and we do 4 different flavors every week, changing things up, seeing what people like, trying new things. But we try and keep things really creative. We never have plain vanilla, even though people always ask about plain vanilla.
Do they really?
Yes, yes. We always get asked, and I'm like, well, I'm sorry, I don't have that. But we do actually sell our plain vanilla and dairy-free coconut ice cream to another local company, Lickety Slick. They do snowballs, so we sell it to them so they can put it in the bottom of their snowball. So if they want plain ice creams, I send them over to them. But I sell the more fun stuff packed with little things, cookies and stuff like that. So,
well, now tell me what kind of flavors you have. Because, like you said, these aren't your regular ice cream flavors, right?
Yeah, I try to make them a little bit more interesting. And I have apparently a very childish taste in ice creams. So I go like I did last week's was triple toasted marshmallow, which was a marshmallow flavored ice cream with marshmallows in it and a marshmallow swirl. We did a salted caramel with toffee pieces in there, so salted caramel toffee crunch, a fudge brownie, and then one of our most popular flavors is the dairy-free coconut with caramelized pineapple. So it's got a little more depth to it, and it's perfect for everyone that can't have dairy, which is a lot of people, I find.
Now, tell me about your background. You come from a culinary school background, right?
Yeah, so I went to a short accelerated program at the Park City Culinary Institute back in Utah, where I've been living for the past 4 years. And I just loved making ice cream. We did a few recipes for our graduation dessert. And I loved it. So after we moved out here, right after I graduated from culinary school, I wanted to perfect these recipes and try out some new ones, and then realized, oh my gosh, like, I can make my own ice cream. It really hit me, like, I don't have to go to Baskin-Robbins anymore. I can make my own ice cream. So I started to have a lot of fun with it.
Oh, that's really neat. So now tell me about deciding to jump into the whole farmer's market thing and become a farmer's market vendor. How was that?
Well, there were a few different things involved. A lot of people that I shared ice cream with or just talked about it really wanted me to just jump out there and do something to sell ice cream. And of course, they didn't have the money to open up a shop or start a food truck or anything. So I was trying to find a small way to do it. And I had remembered the Meredith and Kelly from Lick Ice Cream up in Indy had sold it at the farmer's market, and that just never really occurred to me that I could sell it there. You think farmer's market means produce or maybe baked goods, but I never thought to sell ice cream, and then kind of remembered that and was like, yeah, I could do that. It's small and simple, and, you know, I don't have to be open 7 days a week. I can still do other work on the side, and it just worked out really well.
So now where's the ice cream going from here, though?
Well, we're hoping to open up a location with our friends Lickety Slick, the snowball people. We're hoping to open up something together and do frozen desserts, and we can expand both of our menus to do different things and try floats and other desserts and stuff. And we're looking for a place here downtown and have possibly some things in the works.
Well, as I mentioned earlier in today's show, I spent one whole day and part of another exploring Franklin, Indiana recently with Franklin resident and my tasting tour guide, Brian Alvey. Later this fall, Brian will be opening a winery tasting room in downtown Franklin for River City Winery of New Albany, Indiana. I ended my exploration of Franklin back at the Grill Bar, where Brian filled me in on the soon-to-open tasting room.
A good friend of mine through not only the food and beverage industry, but also military, Gary Humphreys. He was a Ranger in the United States Army. We know through each other through that community. And talking for a long time about, you know, somehow joining forces and doing something one of these days up here. We talked about Indianapolis and everything. Long story short, we had a location that, an amazing location, popped open in downtown Franklin. I called him up, said, get up here. He came up the next day. He said, we're doing it. So I'm walking point on that for him as the owner of River City Winery in downtown historic New Albany, Indiana. He's also the owner of Eagle Crest Vineyards that supplies the grapes for the wine that is sold through the vineyard. So he grows them. He makes it. He'd start, you know, as we say, vine to vino. And then we're opening the tasting room right down here in Franklin for a second location under the winery. So it's going to be fun. I've, you know, I've not only have I consulted in this industry for years, I've owned three establishments myself and everything, and I actually have my server's permit for the first time ever. I'm going to be back there serving wine and having a good time. This is, it's walking distance from my home. That's the other thing about Franklin. You go walk everywhere. It's amazing.
Now, the winery tasting room, River City Winery Tasting Room, is just right next door to the Art Craft Theater, which is an awesome, iconic old theater in Franklin. Tell me a little bit about how the location was important.
Well, it's right in the middle of everything I've described already. Literally one door down from the Art Craft, in the middle of everything. The Art Craft, if a geographical location could have a magnetic pole, that place has it. With everything they do there, I can't even begin to articulate all the things that are going on in the Art Craft that really off the vision of a lot of people. But, you know, Rob Schultz being the executive director of Franklin Heritage, who owns and manages that, amongst other things, in Franklin. What they've done in this community to make this, we have people coming in that are literally 3 hours away to come to the events they have at the Art Craft, the old movies and everything that it encompasses. And to be right next to that, you know, it's almost like I feel like I'm cheating in business a little bit by gravitating off that. But they have been tremendously supportive of what we're trying to do. There's an attitude of competing with, not against, in business in this town, which is amazing. Cross-marketing, working together. So us bringing the wine in, which is the one thing that needed with respect to the diversification of the business and stuff, that's going on here. It just fits. It fits tremendously well.
I'm Jolene Katzenberger, and you've been listening to Eat Drink Indiana Radio on WFYI HD2 The Point. Thank you so much for tuning in this week to our On the Road show from Franklin, Indiana, and thanks also to our guests, Brian Alvey with River City Winery, Vanilla Hughes of the Grill Bar, Karen Buckler of Susie's Tea House and Bakery, Fred Paris of the Pavilion and Triple Play Barbecue, Kim Smith of the Hoosier Cupboard and Ashley Drake Historic Inn, Jason Tapp of Greek's Pizzeria and Tap Room, and Bethany Groh of Companion Ice Cream. And thanks also to producer John Katzenberger for helping to bring you Eat Drink Indiana Radio.